A lot of people who are newbies are like, well, I only have 20 grand saved. How am I supposed to buy one of these rentals? Well, because the answer is you're not supposed to use your own money, is you need to be an expert at raising money. And if you can do that, then you can buy as many as you possibly can, because you can go out there and raise more and more money, and you don't need your own money. In fact, I would tell all of you, if you are going to wholesale, make that income for yourself, true income, right?
You're listening to The Azria Show. If you're looking for quality real estate investing information that you can trust, you've found it. Stay tuned and join the tens of thousands of members that have already benefited from Azria, your home for education, market information, support, and networking opportunities that will advance your real estate investing career.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to another episode of the Azria Show. I am your host, Marcus Maloney, and we have our executive director and co-host, Mike Del Preet.
Hello, hello, welcome.
Hey, and today we're going to be talking about real estate investing from a distance, right? Everybody say, well, you need to start in your own backyard. You need to learn from your own backyard. Well, we have a very special guest today, Justin Colby, who hails from Phoenix. Me and Justin go way back. Actually, I was his acquisition manager for some years ago. And learned quite a bit, from Justin and his partner Gabe at the time. So thank you again, Justin, for all your help getting me started, man. So give us a quick little introduction, man. Who are you? Why should we be listening to you? And why should Azria have you on a podcast?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm honored to be here. I appreciate it. You guys run an incredible gig at the Azria. Have for years. I've been in the space of real estate investing since 2007, well over a decade of that was spent in Phoenix with you guys, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've done well over 2,600 deals and counting. I started the Science of Flipping podcast and coaching program back in 2013. So I've coached and educated thousands and thousands of people to be successful and active in real estate investing. I'm very active still to this very day. I live in Miami. I've built a virtual business because of COVID. I'll wholesale anywhere from 5 to 15 properties a month. I'm actively buying somewhere between 2 to 5 properties a week personally. I'm going more into the commercial sector. I bought 3 apartments already this year. I bought an apartment last year. I bought a storage facility last year. And so what I like to try to tell people listening to this is be a dynamic real estate investor. You have 2 great hosts here. They've been around a long time. They've done some great things, but do not become a one-trick pony. You want to be a dynamic real estate investor, which is a tool belt versus a hammer, right? If you are a hammer and you are only wholesaling, it is the only thing you do, then everything becomes a nail. But if you are an experienced investor, a pro, you've been seasoned and you're more of a tool belt, then regardless of what scenario you are given, you can wholesale it, you can fix and flip it, you can buy it for long-term rental, short-term rental, mid-term rental, you have options. And that is what the pros know. That is what the experts that have been around a long time is, you don't just do one thing, you do it all. And if you can do that and systemize the credit process, then quite literally you could live in Miami and be doing deals in Phoenix the same as people are doing deals in Phoenix living there.
And that goes all the way down to writing the offer. Simple as writing the offer, you need the tool belt, all the way up to how you run your business. So, but for the new people listening as well, would you suggest they focus? Because, right, some people are like, Mike, what kind of deals are you working on? I'm just like you said, like, well, I got this going on over here. I got this going on over here. But I don't want to confuse them either, where they need that.
Right.
At least for the first 6 months, get a deal or two down under one.
You're 100% right. And so when people come into my world of Science of Flipping and they're new, I say, let's go get a handful of wholesale deals done. What I'm not saying is become a big wholesaler. I'm saying, let's go get a couple. Now, if you choose to make wholesaling your major or main business model, awesome. I love wholesaling. I still wholesale. There's nothing wrong with wholesaling. What I'm saying is I don't want that to be the end all be all for someone. So to your point, Mike, come in, go do 2 to 5 wholesales, make certainty around the business model. Get yourself some confidence. Go through the challenges and hiccups and whatever you're going to learn through those deals. Have a deal or 2 or 5 or 10 fall out of escrow because you couldn't find the right buyer. Make that a reality so you can learn through the process. Because when the deals do come in, and I'll give you a great example. One of my members, Naisha, She's incredible. She just got her very first wholesale deal done literally last week. At the same time, she now is getting threatened with a lawsuit from a seller for non-performance because she couldn't find the buyer. Same week, these two incredible things happen, right? She gets her very first deal done, gets her very first check. Same time, she now is dealing with this, you know, threat, right? She's not technically being served, that they're coming after her for non-performance. Learn these things. That is the way. We've all been there. All three of us have been there. We've done that. We get that. But yeah, you're right. Go out and get 2 to 5 wholesale deals done. Assess what you learn, where you're at, what's going on. Do more or pivot, raise private money, et cetera.
So was we, Marcus, I didn't know you worked with Justin, man.
Yeah,
man. I haven't you ever told me that? So all the backstories and all the history. Yep. All right, cool.
So back in 2012, right, when I first moved here to Phoenix, I met Gabe, and then Gabe and Justin were partners on doing deals. And I was out there hustling and everything like that, and they pulled me in, and it was like, hey, we see you got the hustle, you got the grit. Come in, we'll provide the leads, man. You just do the calls and the follow-ups. And yeah, and I worked Justin and Gabe. They really taught me quite a bit. That's how I learned. That's why I'm a big proponent on mentorship, right? Because I could have still been trying to turn my wheel saying, you know what, now these guys want to help me, but they want so much of the pie and everything like that. No, it was like, hey, these guys got years of experience ahead of me. They got to teach me what I don't know, plus help me master what I do know. And then from there, it was just a launch pad, actually.
For sure, man. So, and Justin, we met, man, when I was first getting started, man.
You guys are making me feel old, man.
And we're by the campfire right now, man. We'll get into the new stuff soon. I remember you and your partner bought a crappy ass house down in South Phoenix, man. I couldn't even believe you even had the guts to buy that thing.
Yeah, we bought a lot of those. I don't remember the exact deal, but yeah, I mean, listen, interestingly enough, we've made a lot of money in shitty little areas that, you know, if you know the right markets, like I don't like war zones, right? So parts of Maryvale are tougher to assess, but like, just because something's a shitty little house and $30,000 doesn't mean it's not a good opportunity, right? So, man, I remember those
different world. So what's the difference from when we started, right? Down market, tons of inventory, go to the auction for 40 grand, buy a cookie cutter, right? Versus, you know, it's like the dynamic that you're seeing the new people start in now. Like, what's the differences and how do they adapt?
Or so the thing that we all know and the listener should know is you need to be thinking like a marketer. It's all about lead gen, right? So there's three ways that I'm buying my own homes as a buyer, but also wholesaling homes. There's still three. There's only three: direct to seller marketing, agents, wholesalers.
Yep.
Okay. That is my deal flow. So you have to be doing all three at any given time, right? Now, for many of you, you might be a solopreneur. You're just getting started. You're trying to find your first deal. So listen to more podcasts, follow these two, et cetera. But that is the same type of deal flow. So for us, COVID gave us the opportunity to really go national. And I don't mean I'm in all 50 states. I don't mean it like that. But for the most part, the states I'm in, I still love Arizona just because I've done it now for 15 years in Arizona, 16 specifically. I love Texas. I love Oklahoma. I love Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. But I love these states because the swing state, meaning North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, there is still affordable living in these areas, right? Where party. Uh-oh. That's right.
There we go.
Man, I hate that thing, man. I thought we got rid of that.
I don't know how to turn it off and whatever. So
what?
Hey, well, did you know it does? So look, dude, listen, we love houses. No big deal.
I think it's you.
So, you know, what's changed is how we're finding it, right? And I now run an operation that we are able to virtually find deals better than ever before. Mike, you guys know, both of you know that I was so heavy in direct mail way back in the day. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, we were spending $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month in direct mail. Wow. Now I have much heavier online presence with PPC, PPL, and I actually internally built my own system called Rocketly there's nothing to sell here, but if you guys want to even just see it, just go to Rocketly AI, do a demo, book a demo. It is phenomenal. It's my own internal system that essentially helps us investors get direct to sellers, because people are voyeurs these days, right? So if you two are doing any type of PPC, you know, cost per leads can range from $250 to $750 if you're going to be doing PPC or PPL, but doesn't mean people aren't still going to your website.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I've been able to find is technology and build out technology that just the people going to my website, guys, I'm capturing their information. They don't have to fill out a form. Mm-hmm. That is a game changer. Yeah. That is how I've started to innovate, because, you know, whether I was doing my own Google pay-per-click or buying leads for these companies, I was always like, man, you know, I'm spending $250, $350, $500 at times, but there's more people that go to the damn website. I know it. Yeah. They just don't want to give me their information, right? I know that to be true.
Yeah.
So we've developed the technology to do that. And so the lead gets put into the CRM through our Rocketly platform, and my team can go, you know, talk to them. And so what I've focused more on is cultivating the three-pronged strategy: direct to seller, agents, and wholesalers, and then focusing on being more efficient with the direct to seller, not just blowing money because I have money, right? Not just spending 60 grand direct mail because I have 60 grand to spend. Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep. And you said something very key, Justin, that a lot of people need to understand. When you're in real estate, you're primarily that marketer first, right? Because you got to have that lead in order to be able to convert those leads or talk to those leads and everything like that. So speak to those people that are getting started or even have some success already, and their lead generation is, you know, going in the crapper now because of the way the market is going.
Yeah. So anyone who's genuinely just getting started, has not done their first deal, the fastest way to get your first deal, fastest, would be bring a buyer to someone else's deal.
Yep.
Right? Marcus has a deal, bring your buyer to Marcus's deal. In Phoenix, what I do, and here's a little secret sauce for my Phoenix fans, I do it fee-based. I don't try to, like, so if I have a buyer for Marcus, I don't say, hey, Marcus, give me a 50-50 split on the wholesale fee. I say, hey, Marcus, how much you got in this? Is this a 10 pounder for you, 15 pound? Can you throw me $2,500?
Yep. Yep.
Right? Because that, for me, I get a deal done. My buyer's happy. Marcus is happy because I'm not trying to eat his lunch. Mm-hmm. So now if I go back to Marcus, he's probably more willing to work with me because the other newbie wholesaler is trying to do a 50-50 split with Marcus because he has a buyer too. Well, now who's Marcus going to work with? Me, who may be charging $2,500, or the other wholesaler is going to do a 50-50 deal, right? Now, if the roles are reversed, I've been doing this business now since 2007, right? And so technically 17 years. I have the ability to ask for 50% because a lot of the other people are newer investors.
Yep.
They don't have the database. They don't have the buyers. They don't have the systems, processes, et cetera, right? So it just depends on what side of that coin you're on. If you're the newer person, go be affordable. Go find a buyer, a real buyer, bring them to someone else's deal, and just be affordable. Don't try to get 50%. That's the fastest way. The other way I really like that just takes more work is agent outreach. Mm-hmm. There are still deals on the MLS. The right agent understands what you are doing and how to work with you. These are free. Like, I use Privy because I do this in multiple markets. Privy is a great resource. It helps you comp, but also can give you direct line of sight on what is out there. And those are two of my favorite for those that are just beginning, is to do that, right? Is to be able to find buyers and then work with agents. If you have a couple bucks, listen, Facebook ads, people don't talk about this a lot. They work. Yep. They work really well. I personally used to be the guy who would say it doesn't really work. Well, I changed my tune because I kept trying it. I'm like, there's got to be a way that this works. Mm-hmm. So I kept fucking trying Facebook ads. So again, I run $70 a day on Facebook, I think, which might be a lot for some. So respectfully, and it runs exactly what I just said, Rocketly.ai, because some people don't fill out the stuff. I get all those leads coming into my database. And then I have an AI bot. That would also be answering your question. How has it changed?
Okay.
AI has changed it.
Right.
I don't need a big team anymore. You guys remember the days? I don't know. You guys remember Mariano, right? He's still out there.
Yep.
Dude, me and Mariano, same thing. Yeah. So he helped me run my internal 20-person sales floor in Phoenix. He managed them for me.
Yep.
You don't need that anymore. AI can do that. I mean, unfortunately, I'm kind of scared for the human race, but like, I don't need the biggest team anymore. Mm-hmm. The whole measuring stick of like, oh, I have this big office, I have all these people.
Yep.
Well, then you're doing it wrong, in my opinion.
Exactly.
AI, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I opened up an email yesterday and literally probably a minute later, it's like a Russell Brunson, Dan Kennedy type email, the marketing, open it up. And I was like, hi, this is Kimberly AI. I want to invite you. And it was about that email that I opened, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, that blew my mind. I didn't even know that.
Yep. Yep. And that's so being able to, for us old people, being able to stay, you know, people will say, how the fuck have you done this for 17 years? Right. Like, you know, and it's just because I've been able to be fluid. I pivoted when I needed to pivot. Mike, you talked about buying it down at the auction. That's how we started. Right. And the hedge funds came in and then all of a sudden can't get anything down at the auction.
Yep.
So I had to pivot. Right. And so buying from wholesale. And so AI, it's big, right? I'm not here to sell anything. I would tell anyone interested in real estate, go to rocketly.ai, just because it's what I did to pivot over the last 12 months. When AI started hitting, I saw it being a thing. Yeah. I had to get around that corner. And so that's what I built out, is that.
Oh man, love it. I'm going to check it out. So going forward, all right, so we talked about some pipeline, some getting some leads. So what's your team look like now in the investment world?
So it's a little different, right? Like I said, like I got tired of doing the revolving door of salespeople, mm-hmm. right? So I essentially have two acquisition people. But what I've been able to do, quite frankly, is I've built a community with my students that I'm mm-hmm. teaching them how to go get their first deal. So Mike, you asked me the question, if you're teaching someone how to get their first deal, they should probably wholesale it. Well, yeah. I'm a real buyer, yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I teach them to do is go get the deal. And if they do it in markets I'm in, I will buy it from them. Wow. So I just bought a property from one of my members. He made $33,000 assignment off me. He literally was like, you have changed my life. I cannot believe, not only did you teach me how to do this, you paid me
right.
to do it. Right.
Yep.
And so now because of that, my marketing, Rocketly, so I guess I have three acquisition people. And then I have two disposition people for the wholesaling. But where my team has grown is because I'm acquiring more. So I have a head of construction. I have a head of investor relations. I have a full-time TC. I have a head of operations. I have a general manager. So I have more like operational finances, property management, head of construction team than I do acquisition in the traditional, like back in the day, me and Sean Terry would always talk about building an acquisition team and all this other stuff. That's great. I'm just not there in that place anymore. I don't think it's necessary with AI. And then also I want to buy more than I want to wholesale.
Right. Right.
And wholesaling is great. I still do it. Right. I don't want to take away from all, but like you talk to anyone who's anybody. I literally just did a podcast right before this with Sophia Castro. If you know Bobby Castro and Sophia Castro, mm-hmm. we were just talking about this, right? They have $750 million worth of assets. Right. And so that's the big game. That's where everyone needs to be. That's where you two need to be. That's where I need to be. So the faster I can get there, wholesaling is great because it pays the bills.
Yep.
But I have no interest in being the big swinging dick and, oh, I'm doing mm-hmm. 300 wholesale deals a year. That used to be me, yep. right? That used to be a me and Sean Terry and we're all going back. Who cares? Who cares?
It's what you right? hold now.
Let me see your assets.
Yep. And that's one of the things, Justin, as you become more seasoned as an investor, you look at that, right? You say, mm-hmm. you know what? I'm not worried about the quick turn cash. I'm looking at the long-term asset. What is my asset? What does my balance sheet look like at the end of the day? How many of these properties am I holding and getting passive income from? And I always tell people, you know what? Yes, wholesaling is great. You can start there, but at some time you need to start acquiring and holding a lot of those assets. Because I mean, just between the three of us, you look back, how many houses should we have kept, you know?
I mean, bro, well, Mike's story about way back in the day in Phoenix, every yep. single one of those shitty every ass little properties for $30,000, we should have kept every single one of them.
Yep. So those houses, you think about it, you should have just kept them, right? And I tell people nowadays, and that's my whole thing, is the important piece of it now is to keep those long-term assets. You know, have those assets pay you monthly, overtime.
Well, I think even when you were working for me, didn't you have a couple in Chicago? Didn't you have a couple rentals in Chicago?
Yep. Had rentals in Chicago. And that's really what sustained me and kept me when we didn't have a good month, when we had a down season. It's like, all right, well, I still got these rentals that's paying me every month. So I just continued to build on that. So it was like, I started doing virtual wholesaling in Chicago. And I was like, okay, for every deal that I wholesale that don't fit my model, I'm keeping it, you know?
That's
so,
right.
And that's what I continue to do. So now I'm not wholesaling as much, just like you, Justin. Now it's how many of these can I hold, or how many of these can I flip and turn into vacation rentals, short-term rentals, midterm rentals, or just traditional rentals?
That's why I say about being a full tool belt, because the other part is a lot of people who are newbies are like, well, I only have 20 grand saved. How am I supposed to buy one of these rentals, Marcus? Mm-hmm. Well, because the answer is you're not supposed to use your own money. That's the real answer,
right?
Is you need to be an expert at raising money. And if you can do that, then you can buy as many as you possibly can, because you can go out there and raise more and more money and you don't need your own money. In fact, I would tell all of you, if you are going to wholesale, make that income for yourself, true income, right? Don't use that to go buy rentals. A lot of people will talk about go make a lot of money with active income and flipping and then buy rentals. No. Go have an awesome life. Go on vacation. Mm-hmm. Buy your night. Buy, you know, a Louis Vuitton bag for your wife. That's what you should use the wholesaling money for. Buy rentals. Buy flips with other people's money.
True. And that's a great concept. And that's what a lot of people should be doing now, is going out raising the money. Because once you have the money, you could do whatever you want. You can wholesale, you can buy rentals, you can buy apartments, you can syndicate, whatever. You know, it's not right now, it's not about acquiring the asset right now. It's about acquiring the capital so you can then go and acquire the asset. You know, so a lot of people, they get so screwed up thinking, well, I have to go and find this property. No, go and get that money. Once you have that money, you can go in and buy that property. Like you say, you can find properties on the MLS in certain markets where it's still a good deal.
Absolutely.
So tell us, Justin, so you moved from Phoenix to the East Coast to Miami. Yep. Smart move to me.
I think it was.
Yeah, smart move. Tell us about how you're doing everything virtually. I know you talked about Rocketly.ai. What was that transition switch mentally saying, you know what, I don't need to be in my own backyard in Phoenix in order to do deals?
It was the simple part of like having a process that I could lean on. So it's like building a foundation out of cement, not sand, right? So if I have a true process of how are we analyzing deals? How are we negotiating with the seller? How are we structuring the offers? Then that should be rinse and repeatable regardless of where I'm at or where my team's at, right? It should be something that is replicatable. So when COVID hit, it gave me the opportunity to say, okay, let me lean on my process. Let me lean on this. Let me make sure it is built out of cement and not sand.
Yep.
And it was. And it said, oh, well, now I can live anywhere. It doesn't matter. Understanding the rehab cost, understanding how to analyze property, understanding how to negotiate and sell and contract, understanding how to do the sub twos. It's all just the process that you can follow anytime, anywhere in any city. So I went for it, right? And it turned out to be gold.
Okay. All right, Justin. So you're doing virtual deals. You're out in Miami. You're doing virtual deals all across the country. How did you know what markets really to tap into versus Birmingham, Alabama versus San Diego, California?
Sure.
I know that's a bit extreme, but how did you decide on what markets to be in?
It's the best question to ask. And the reason being is we saw what the hedge funds did to Phoenix and the valuations that Phoenix got because of the hedge funds being there, right? So we all had firsthand experience of what happens when big boy money gets involved, right? So I just followed the money. I didn't overthink it. I said, okay, I understand right now they took a pause because they kind of overspent and OfferPad and all the other guys kind of went away. The reality is, though, if you are watching The Real Deal on Instagram or any of these financial markets, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars to go back into the market when the time is right. Some of them are doing it specific to single family homes, single family home assets. Some are doing it for multifamily, et cetera. But if you just start to watch that, you'll start to realize like, okay, where were they playing? Oh, they were playing throughout Georgia. Oh, they were playing in Alabama. Oh, they're playing in Florida. Oh, they're playing like Phoenix and Vegas. These markets have priced themselves out. It's too expensive. So they need to find good markets that have good upside, right? Mm-hmm. They're just like us with a bigger bank account. They need an ROI.
Yep.
They need to make sure their asset performs. So when you look at that, I just followed the money. And then I said, okay, well, they're going to be in a lot of different markets. What would be the ones I would want to be in? And for me, it came down to growth. What markets have opportunity for growth, right? What was the Phoenix of 2000, right?
Right.
And so I love Birmingham. I'm glad you said that. I bought 3 separate apartments in Birmingham already this year. I'll probably buy another handful. I love Birmingham. I love most cities in Florida. I love most cities in North Carolina. Charlotte's already kind of gone through a lot of price increases, but I still love North Carolina, South Carolina, Oklahoma, I still think has a lot of growth. And then people will say, well, how are you measuring growth? Well, there's websites that can give you statistics, right. But what I want to see in cities is big colleges, big military, big industry, right? Is it tech? Is it car? Is it, you know, what is the industry? I want to see big sports teams, professional sports team. Because if you are watching the smartest people in the world own these billion-dollar franchises like the Cowboys or whatever, well, they're moving to spaces that people will go pay them to watch the show, right?
Yeah.
So like Oklahoma is a great, like Oklahoma City Thunder, right? Mm-hmm. There's a really big franchise that is there to, you know, University of Oklahoma is there. People are going to live there. People are going to need to rent there. People, there's an economy running, right? That's why Vegas is done. Like, it is a full-blown major city at this point. It's off the charts, right? That used to be a great place. Now it won't be, not for rentals at least, right?
Right.
So that's it. I kept it simple. I followed the money. I said, where's the big boys going to come back and play? Where's the best ROI? Where's growth? And then where are big, you know, institutions, meaning sports teams, colleges, military.
Okay. Once you find that city and you choose a city, what's the next hurdles that someone's going to face and deal with once they pick that town?
Probably the more traditional hurdle, like how do I find the contractors, right? Yeah. How do I find the realtors? How do I find the buyers if you're going to be wholesaling? But those we all have answers for. Like, people leverage Facebook amazingly these days. Right. People are better at saying what they are, what they aren't on Facebook these days. InvestorLift's a very expensive tool, but is a great tool for buyers, you know. And then I built a business that I'm grateful for. I didn't know it was going to turn out this way. But because of the Science of Flipping community, because I've been able to educate so many thousands of people through the Science of Flipping, I built my own community that I can lean on. Right. And because of that, I have the benefit of calling on them.
Right.
I also join masterminds every single year. Why? For this purpose. Mm-hmm. The Boardroom Mastermind is by far the best real estate mastermind out there, period. I invite either of you to. You have to be an experienced investor. You cannot be a rookie. But I literally just needed a contractor in San Antonio because my contractor, classically, flaked out on me. I literally went into the Boardroom Mastermind on Slack. Hey guys, who's in San Antonio? Cause there's, you know, I don't know everyone in there.
Right.
Immediately. I got 4 resources. We're back on track. We're rocking and rolling because of the network. Mm-hmm. And if you're not investing in your network and cutting a check to build your network, you are just simply being short-sighted. You are too worried, right? Yeah. So for you newbies, you need to be hiring a coach. You need to be joining masterminds. There are some better set for newbies, right? Boardroom is not that, but you have to, because it allows you to have the resources and the network to scale a business virtually versus reliant on your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And that's like the new game, right? Like having the community, it's like bird dogs on steroids.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I mean, listen, Pace is the leader of the pack on that, right? He's just done a brilliant job building freaking like 20,000 bird dogs for himself. Mm-hmm.
and you know what? What's key with the whole community building, just like you said, Justin, is having those people because you can spread yourself out now, right? Because you don't have to worry about, hey, you know what? I don't know anybody in San Antonio. But when you build that network, it's like, hey, you just throw a post in there. Hey, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z in San Antonio. And I guarantee you somebody's going to respond, you know?
At your guys' level and where we've been at, like, you, everyone needs to be at a high level, be in a high level mastermind, right? 30, 40, 50, 60 grand a year, pay it because of this one thing. That one investment every year may have just saved the San Antonio deal. I got a contractor after mine went absent. They wanted double, literally $120,000 for the rehab, but that we were quoted 60. There's my yearly investment in that mastermind right there, right? Yep. That one deal will basically afford me that mastermind. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. You can't afford not to be a part of these higher level masterminds at the level that we are playing. You just can't, because you need to have that network.
Yep. And I'll give you another example. Like, I was in a high level mastermind and we were looking to do some flips, and I just put it out there. Hey, you know what? We got these flips lined up. Our money was short. And I was like, hey, bring capital to this deal and, you know, you'll get a return. And I had people after people was like, hey, you know what? Hey, I'll fund 100% of the acquisition, 100% of the rehab, you know, as long as I get my return. And it was like, boom, now I went from wholesaling a deal to now I'm like, all right, well, let's take this thing down and flip it, and made 4x what I would have did trying to wholesale it. So
that's right.
Like you said, Justin, those masterminds are key. And being members, guys, you're listening, being members of Azria and other RIAs, things like that, you have to leverage, you know, those relationships and really build that pipeline for yourself. And don't be afraid to say, you know, I don't have the answers to something, because guarantee you somebody else has the answers and they're willing to share that answer with you.
And you guys need to be on here in Azria asking these guys questions all the time. It is the way you connect. Like, by simply asking questions, you might get closer to Marcus or to Mike, because you're asking questions. So they have to answer you, and you start to build a relationship and do deals together. You need to leverage the community. It doesn't do you any good to be in Azri and not do a fucking thing with it, right?
True.
These guys are here for you, and the whole community is here for you. Use it. That is why it is there.
Yep. And like we were saying, Marcus and Justin, like especially in the higher level ones, it's like, it's that giving attitude. Like, everyone knows they want to help. They're there to help. They're encouraged to help. It's like a really great feeling, man. And yeah, I get it, man. It's a good atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And and what's even worse is being a member of a mastermind or RIA and saying, okay, well, I'm here to learn. And like you said, Justin, I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to try and figure it out. I'm going to try and piece, you know, one and two things together and try and come up with this product. No, it's leverage those relationships. Again, 100%. Like Mike said, we're here to give.
Man, my first one, I paid 13 grand for years ago, and I kind of played the quiet role. Introvert, kind of just feel it out. I didn't know what else. I mean, you know, it was still worth it, but like, I learned a big lesson, man. Like you said, ask questions, man. Like, don't be that person.
Yep, for sure. Yep. So what's next for you, Justin? I know you've done quite a bit. You're a very, very seasoned investor. You're acquiring assets now, but what's next for you and the science of flipping?
So I had I sat down with Grant in January, and he basically called me a pussy and said, I challenge you to get 3,000 doors in the next 36 months. So I'm putting my head down and I'm going for it. Right. And you know, even if I don't get there, and I'm going to try to get there, you know, again, I'll never not be in real estate. Rocketly.ai has actually gotten a lot of interest from tech companies because it's incredible technology. So that's becoming a new thing on my plate that I'm a real estate guy, and all of a sudden I'm in the tech space. Tech. I never thought I would be in the tech space. I was never like, but here I am. And here the thing is because I was solving a problem for my own real estate business that turned into something. And so it's a very interesting wild ride I'm on right now with the tech thing. And then I've created two big, big platforms for my podcast. The Science of Flipping is currently ranked number 2 on Apple for investing. And the Entrepreneur DNA is currently ranked number 5 on Apple for entrepreneurship. And that has become like a passion project. It's a business. Don't get me wrong. It's pay to play, right? If you're going to be on there, it's a big audience. And if you want my audience, you're going to pay for it. But it's fun. I mean, I'm literally interviewing really cool people and just having a blast with it. And creating value for the listeners. And so it is, it's kind of more in line with where I'm probably going, which is more of, you know, speaking more from stages. My book comes out in May called Flipping to Wealth. That will be on Amazon and all the retail stores. So that is a large part of where I'm going, because after 17 years of business, I've built a actual business in real estate, meaning mm-hmm. I'm not in the day to day. I don't analyze deals every day. I'm not trying to figure out offers. I'm not dealing with leads. Like, I have a general manager, and I told you, kind of acquisition right. people and disposition and head of finance and TC. Like, I have a business that is running, and I'll always be in real estate though. That will never leave me. It just is going to likely be bigger deals.
Awesome. Appreciate it. So I know you got a hard stop here, man. So send Justin your deals. Let's help him get to 3,000.
How can Let's we go. Reach Justin? Give us
single families, apartments. Send me the deals.
Okay. How do we send them to you?
You can send me, let me just think through what would be the best email.
Okay. But you can also find Justin on Instagram. Yeah. Facebook.
We'll put in the
do it that way, because again, I don't even analyze them. So all I'm going to do is send them to my team. Yep. So go to the Justin Colby on Instagram, the Justin Colby on Instagram. DM me. It is me. I will reply to you. I don't do the bot bullshit and whatever mm-hmm. people do. I will literally, if you have a deal, and here's what I ask, make sure you are direct on the deal. Don't try to send me someone else's deal, right? Say, hey, this is my deal. I am contracted, and I will give you a real number. I still love Phoenix. For all my Phoenix, like, I will still fix and flip in Phoenix. It's just not a good rental market for me, right? Yeah. Send me your deal, the Justin Colby on Instagram.
And please be direct to seller. What do you mean by direct to seller? Is you can pick up the phone and you can talk directly to the seller, not a person that's connected to the seller.
That's right.
So, man, Justin, thank you so much for being a guest here on the Azria Show. We really appreciate you. We thank you for all that you've done here in the Phoenix market, man. You really put some grassroots efforts in this market and really helped build it. And with the helps of, you know, connections through Azria, Mike, and myself, man, we just want to thank you so much for being, you know, an active investor that did it the right way, right? You did it the right way. You know, you spent the money. Guys, you don't know Justin's backstory, but he spent the money up front to be a part of the masterminds, and he slept on his buddy's couch and everything like that. So sometimes you have to make those tough sacrifices in order to get where you're trying to go. And Justin, man, thank you. We applaud you, man, for being that stand-up guy.
I appreciate you both. Thank you for having me.
All right. So guys, you know what to do. Go to azria.org/calendar if you want to know more information on all the events that we have here at Azria. We can definitely help you get started. We go from Launchpad, which is just trying to find that track on what you want to do in real estate, all the way up to buying apartments and doing notes. So with that being said, Mike, you want to close us out? Anything you want to give us?
Appreciate it, Justin. Nice catching up with you, man. Thanks for being here. I want to bring you back on. As you, all these business, like the Rocket League, I'm gonna check that out. I want to see how you're doing with the 3,000 apartments. So
yeah, let's do that.
We haven't even touched on raising private capital, right? So,
bro, that's a huge one. We could do a whole another show on that. Yeah. That is like a crucial part.
Yeah, like these conversations, like there's like, so like your rentals 2 to 5 weeks. I want to go into funds. I want to go to everything, man. So it's a lot to cover, man. So let's have you back for sure.
Let's do that. And okay. and there may be a Justin Colby sighting here in Phoenix, Arizona sometime soon.
Let us know, man.
Right. Just a little hint.
Okay. All right. We're here, man.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Azria Show with your hosts, Marcus Maloney and Mike Delprete. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found this information valuable, head over to azria.org and learn more about our community.